Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Derek Bruff, an assistant director at the Center for Teaching. This episode continues our podcast series focusing on time-efficient teaching. Faculty at a research university like Vanderbilt must balance a number of competing demands on their time, including teaching, research, and service. For this series, we're interviewing senior faculty members at Vanderbilt and asking them to share ways they teach effectively while making good use of their time. In this episode, we feature an interview with Lynn Ramey, Associate Professor of French and Chair of the Department of French and Italian. In the interview, Lynn describes time-efficient ways to approach lesson planning, course design, and grading. My colleague Patricia Armstrong, Assistant Director at the Center for Teaching, conducted the interview.
So, Lynn Ramey, can you describe one or two methods you use that help you be efficient with your time, use of time when teaching? For instance, are there any techniques you use to save time when preparing for class, when helping students outside of class, or when grading?
I guess for me, the biggest thing that I found that helps the most is using Blackboard, actually, the technology part of that, because what I can do is the first time I go through the course, I make up all the questions, I make up all the extra things for students to use in class, and then I put it on Blackboard. And instead of having to either re-photocopy it for the students or to make up another class pack or to do any of those things, I just do the course copy, and then students have access to everything, so I really don't have to reinvent the class. And that makes the first time through really hard, but then the second time or the third time, you can add a lot more questions. You can see what didn't work and work on it. And so by the time I'm on my third or fourth time, it's really, really easy to prepare for class at that point.
And how do students respond to it?
They like it. They like that part of it. There are other things about Blackboard that they might not care for, but they like to know what's going to come up and have examples. So I can put up examples of tests that I've given in the past, or I can put up answers to different questions that we might give in class, or I guess different types of grading rubrics and things like that.
Right.
And they really like that part.
Because you can have stuff visible and not visible to your students. So you could, for example, in a practice test, you could choose which ones to show from the past.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Anything else you want? Is there another method? Or is that...
Well, this
I'm sure you have other methods,
yeah,
but that seems like the main one.
That's the one that really saves me the most time, I have to say, after all these different trials of different things. But the other thing that saves me the most time, I guess, for me, grading is really a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to find time for it, and it's hard for me to get excited about it and all of that. But if I use a grading rubric, and that's low tech, I know exactly what I'm looking for and use that. And then there's still room to comment, but I'm not writing extensive comments on every student paper. What I can do is just look at a certain whatever area in the rubric that they seem to need to work on and just talk about that. So I really find grading rubrics to be amazing.
Do you distribute the rubric in advance of
Yes.
the assignment? Is it the same for all assignments over the course of a term?
No. I have a different rubric, for instance, for oral exams. Obviously, there would be a different kind of need there than for written papers. But I do tend to use the same rubrics on the same types of material so that students, if they didn't do well on the first go-round, the first essay, then they know even more what I'm looking for by the second or the third time. So,
do you find that you save any additional time by knowing what your criteria are and knowing what's on your rubric? Does that help you in creating assignments? So that, not necessarily that you're writing an assignment to the rubric, but that the knowing what it is you want from an assignment helps guide the creation of the assignment.
It probably did at the beginning, and now I kind of have more of a sense of what it is that I want students to get, or to give me, I guess, or to get out of any particular paper that they're writing. So now I don't really look back to that, but I can imagine, I know I did at the beginning, think about, okay, is this question really going to be answered, whatever, I always give them prompts for their essays, and is this particular answer going to meet what it is that I want them to get out of it? So it's kind of a check. I don't know that it's so much that it guides it, but it's a check to me. Am I just making up interesting questions, or am I really trying to get them to answer something that will bring them, you know, further along in the course in these ways?
Great. So that's very helpful, and that definitely responds to, I think, preparing for class, helping students outside of class, because they're helped through Blackboard, and grading. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Let's move to the next question. Are there things you've chosen not to do in your teaching in order to make good use of your time as a faculty member? If so, what are they?
Yes. Oral interviews. Those are hard because they are very time intensive. But with the rubric, it's a little bit, that one's a trade-off for me. And there are some classes where I simply say there are too many students in this class for me to do the oral interviews and to have the time to do it correctly. So, yeah, there are some things I don't do.
Now, would these be oral interviews specifically in a French class, mm-hmm. or in a French class or a class that you sometimes teach in English? So are you talking about courses where you're teaching in French?
Yeah, because usually I try to, in my French classes, also make sure that not just that they get something out of it content-wise, but that they move forward in their learning of French. Mm-hmm. And there's not, you can get a good sense of how students are doing in conversation in class in some ways, but that's not the same as testing them orally.
Right.
And they don't get the same kind of feedback. So I think it's an important part of teaching French. It's just that there are some classes that I've found I just don't have the time to do that.
Right.
In addition to the other things.
Anything else that you feel like you've chosen not to do?
Yes. Unfortunately, I hope there's not too many things I've chosen not to do, but this one is, I think, probably what everyone does and is the most practical, and that is I just do not restructure classes entirely. I don't want to teach the exact same course over and over again, but if I know that there's something that I want to be working toward in that class, I'll maybe change a film or change a book, but not the entire class at a time. I guess I kind of look at it as a long-term thing. This course is going to, there's some sort of ideal sense of what this course should be,
right.
and I'm working towards it,
right.
but I don't have to have it that way today. And
right.
that's pretty much.
I think that's very helpful. I can well imagine that beginning junior faculty members have a harder time seeing that kind of longitudinal
yeah.
view, and you're experienced enough that you see that you will definitely teach the course again,
right.
and that in the aggregate you want it to be a successful course, and that you have to make progress incrementally.
Right. And I haven't, and for that one, as far as student trade-offs go, I haven't actually, and I've tried to keep track of it, I haven't actually noticed that the classes that are more or over-prepared are more successful, either in terms of whether the students enjoy them in their feedback, or even in my sense of outcome, where they've, you know, have they mastered the material that I hoped that they would. So sometimes I think we take on these sorts of Herculean tasks that aren't really actually helpful.
That don't yield the
right.
from a cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah, the students actually don't see the difference sometimes. Oh, one more thing, and this is
sure.
actually really helpful. And I know the registrar's office loves this, and that is I try to schedule my courses early in the morning because I find that what I do, if I have a noon class, I will spend all morning preparing for it. If I have a 10 o'clock class, I'll spend the morning preparing for it. 9 o'clock, I spend the morning, and they all turn out just fine. So by teaching at 9 o'clock, which is what I like to do, then I find that I have saved up a lot of the day to do other things.
That's great. That's a great tip. So one final question, and that is, given the choices that you've talked about making, have you experienced that there are any kind of trade-offs?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, do you find them to be reasonable trade-offs?
Yeah. I guess the part I was talking about, the Blackboard part, there is a trade-off. Blackboard, there's a certain amount of flexibility built in, but there's also a certain amount of inflexibility when you start reusing assignments from other classes. For instance, if your class has taken a really interesting direction that had nothing to do with the material, say, let's say you as happened with a course this last fall where we kind of got interested in government and politics because of the election, and it wasn't that it had anything to do with early modern literature, but there per se, but you could find it in the literature. And so the questions that I had formulated for previous classes didn't address that.
Right.
And that's, you know, that is a little frustrating. On the other hand, I did find that we could still talk about these things in class without having the students, you know, specifically prepare for that
right.
with those questions. So, yeah, there is a trade-off. I mean, if you aren't ready to completely throw out your class and restructure it and start over, then you are, in some ways, that's inflexible. But I think it's a trade-off that I'm willing to make.
In terms of fulfilling your other faculty roles right. and responsibilities.
I mean, yes. There are a lot, you know, there are a lot of things that we have to do. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Lynn Ramey.
That was Lynn Ramey, Associate Professor of French and Chair of the Department of French and Italian on the topic of time-efficient teaching. I would like to thank Lynn for taking time to speak with the Center for Teaching. In the show notes for this episode, you'll find links to Lynn Ramey's homepage, as well as links to Center for Teaching resources on course design and grading. If you have any comments or questions about this episode, please visit our blog, located at blogs.vanderbilt.edu/CFTpodcast, and let us know your thoughts. We're interested in hearing your strategies for effective yet time-efficient teaching. Vanderbilt instructors interested in discussing any aspect of their teaching are invited to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT teaching consultant. We're glad to help you reflect on and explore the various choices you make as a teacher and to connect you with resources you'll find useful as you design, implement, and assess learning experiences for your students. I've been your host, Derek Bruff. Thanks for listening.